happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
Oh, when he wore.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
He washed my sins away.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting live today for the first time in 10 weeks from our studios in New York City. Also, video streaming for the first time in 10 weeks. You can go to GaryNull.com or ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com if you'd like to watch today's broadcast. I've come back because I have to edit some very important new film footage into our new documentary on genetic engineering. And because of the storm and because of a lack of editors now in the studio, I have to do this myself. But it's crucial new information. Today's program is going to begin not with health and nutrition, but rather with a Conversations with Remarkable Minds segment. We're going to look at biotechnology, genetic engineering, and what I believe is the most dangerous threat to human health over the next 50 years, or certainly in the new millennium, and that is genetic engineering. My guest today is Dr. Maewon Ho. She is a genetic biochemist and a biophysicist, and she has published over 400 scientific and articles in the different magazines, including peer-reviewed literature. She has published several books, including Genetic Engineering, Dream or Nightmare, and her classic text, The Physics of Organisms. She's written extensively about global and scientific problems and catastrophic threats associated with genetic modification of crops. She was designated expert of the International Cartagena Biosafety Protocol, which included about 575 scientists from around the world who state that the greatest threat mankind has is not nuclear war, but genetic engineering. And besides her distinguished career as a scientist, she's also a major critic of neo-Darwin thought in genetic engineering. Senior researcher at Queen Elizabeth University and the Open University at Milton Keynes Institute. She is with us now on our conference phone. Nice to have you with us today, Dr. Ho.
Thank you.
Dr. Ho, I'm very concerned about the spread of altered genes through horizontal gene transfer and that the experimental alteration of gene structures may be out of control. And I cannot and will not trust anything that anyone in our governmental agencies say because, quite simply, instead of simply telling us the truth about anything, they first have to work that information up a political ladder until it reaches a person at the USDA or the FDA or the National Institutes of Health, and then through there to various legislators, and through there through the White House. All these people have to have their input before a honest statement can be made. And if that statement in any way impugns the reputation of the genetic modification systems, the science, the manufacturers, or the scientists themselves, without exception, it will be changed, meaning they will lie about it. Now, I'm sorry to say that my government is not able just to be honest about anything when it comes to public health, but it isn't and hasn't. And this goes for a long time. I mean, look how many decades, 33 years after it was scientifically confirmed by consensus that asbestos was a carcinogen, only then, a whole generation later, did they actually act on it, and that's because of special interest group. Well, you don't have any more powerful interest group than the genetic engineering company. So I'm going to start our discussion with my concern that that if you're able to have genetically modified crops that can cross back from plants by horizontal gene transfer to different species of bacteria, then what does that mean if we need an antibiotic in the future for E. coli or meningitis, which is now a problem? And now your body cannot benefit from the antibiotic because of this. So this is part of, but I'm not yet to where I'm going with this. Then I'm going to let you take your time and answer me. Hold on. I haven't got to my question yet. Let me give you my question.
Okay.
All right. Right now in the United States, in the state of California, we, the people, are waging a major effort to get people to vote yes on Proposition 37. I'm producing six-part documentaries that have been distributed last night. I had a meeting in Los Angeles with a group of grassroots people.
That's to get genetically modified ingredients labeled. Is that right?
Yes. And they are spending up to $2 million a day with hourly ads telling people not to vote yes, but to vote no. I listed the other day hundreds of organizations, all the farming organizations, many of the NAACP chapters, that are all saying, no, don't vote for genetic engineering. So I want you to begin this discussion, please, with your concerns about genetically engineered foods, not just in California, but everywhere. The science, the incomplete science of our potential dangers of industrialized GMO agriculture and its products. And also, I'd like for you to talk about you and other scientists' concern about what could happen if biotechnology could become the greatest threat to humanity's future existence. The forum is yours. Take your time.
Well, you know, we've been through this before. And you're quite right. It's actually very dangerous, genetic engineering. And I've been saying that, people like myself have been saying that since the late 1990s. And unfortunately, everything we predicted had come true, and even more. I don't know if you know of the latest research results from the independent scientist lab of Seralini. He's a French, very distinguished French scientist. He was the one that actually went through the law courts to get Monsanto's and other companies' results released so they can be analyzed properly, because you cannot trust what the biotech companies submit to the regulators. And you're quite right, you cannot even trust the regulators to regulate properly. And this is the case in Europe as well as in the United States, strange as it may seem. And after a lot of to and fro, they finally did their own experiments. They raised rats on genetically modified soya, maize, okay, genetically modified maize, which is also tolerant to herbicide Roundup. And so they did the most detailed experiment to date for the entire lifespan of the rats. And they turned up these excess deaths, tumors, cancers that they were not expecting at all. So immediately, of course, they were fiercely attacked and rubbished. But of course, you know, this is not the first time that anybody has found these results. This is the latest of a long series of experiments that dedicated independent scientists have been carrying out in the lab, because they were concerned, because the farmers themselves have been complaining of sicknesses and deaths in the livestock and the unexplained illnesses. And farmers all over the world have been noticing that their livestock have become infertile, have miscarriages, have illnesses, or they just fall dead, basically. And finally, the scientists are reproducing what the farmers themselves and farm workers also have been getting ill, what they have found. And let me tell you that categorically, the evidence now is so damning, it's so good against GMOs and GM food, especially if they, if the animals are fed the unprocessed variety, because you don't want to start a panic, because people, ordinary people, have not been eating a lot of unprocessed GM food. Okay, even processed GM food is not very good for you, but the effects are more slow acting. So if when these animals are fed on unprocessed fresh GM maize or GM soya, whatever, they really get very ill. They die, they get cancers, they get tumors, and they get miscarriages. And, you know, the first thing you must have in your country, at least we have that, is labeling, so that you can track down people who actually have become ill when they are not careful about what they eat, when they have eaten genetically modified food. And horizontal gene transfer, you're quite right. I emphasize that in my book, in published, first appeared in 1997. I first warned about it in 1996. And it's the most underrated, because this can create new disease agents, agents that you don't even dream of. Now, I mention that because one of your senior scientists, and again, he came out because he was so worried, Don Huber, Professor Don Huber, he was so worried about what's happening and about these new pathogens that to this day he cannot get them identified because people are afraid to touch it. He cannot get support for characterizing it. But these have been isolated from the livestock that are dying, from the animals and from the GMOs that are growing in the fields. And he has also documented, he and his team have also documented all the new crop diseases that, and old ones that have come back. New ones are arising, and there is at least 40 diseases now linked to glyphosate, for example. Glyphosate, not only does glyphosate itself cause cancers, stillbirths, miscarriages, neurotoxicity, a whole range of endocrine disrupting problems. The GMOs themselves, even when they are not sprayed, are causing problems, are causing these illnesses. So the whole thing is an absolute mess because there is no support whatsoever for really investigating the real risks. And we now know that the genes, when the organisms die, the DNA, they remain active. They can actually jump into other species, as you pointed out. Not only that, there are other DNA and RNA. RNA is another kind of nucleic acids that are in organisms. All organisms, they are now known to play a major role in controlling gene expression and everything, and they are also infectious, like DNA. They can actually, when we eat our food, do you know what happens? These small molecules can go in and modify our genes. Now, imagine what happens. You've got these strange, so we are, over the generations, over thousands of years, we're actually adapted to our food, because you are literally what you eat. So when you introduce something like genetically modified food, which is a whole new game altogether, you've got to check what other nucleic acids are there, what other strange metabolites are there that's going to be not good for us. Do you see what I mean?
Dr. Ho, not only do I see what you mean, but I just finished filming.
Please interrupt me if I say something that, you know, it's not clear.
I want to get us on to many other different topics. So I'm going to ask you if you could just make your answers just a little bit more succinct, please. Now, let me take... My concern is this.
Yeah.
When I was filming... Dr. Bruce Lipton recently for this film, he brought this up. He said it's not just the actual molecular exchange in genetic engineering, taking a bacteria or a virus or cells from a frog or a lizard or a snake and implanting them into a product that we're going to eat, like corn or potatoes. He said it's the energy, and it's in the energy, something that you cannot measure, something you cannot isolate and define. It is not at the macro level. It is at the, literally at the subatomic level. He said that energy, you are messing with nature if you take the energy of a virus, of energy of a bacteria that is not normal to the human energy system, and you combine the two together. Let's say you eat some soy, or you eat some corn, or you eat some wheat, and you have viruses and bacteria or genes from non-human species. He said, they'll argue, well, did you see any cancer? Did you see any disease? In point of fact, yes, we can now with the Seralini study show. Yes, but it took 90 days. All their other studies were under 90, and that shows me that they knew damn well that if they went over 90 days, the diseases and cancer would start to show, especially mammary and renal failure. But he's saying this, don't just look at the diseases. Look at the energy. It's no different than the energy, he said, of a mother that kisses the baby. When she kisses the baby, she's taking the mucus of the baby's lips, transferring that into her body. Her body is then producing breast milk with antibodies. The breast milk then nourishes the baby's body. He said that is one of time immemorial's most ancient and actual ways that we by species transfer our energy. Just like two people love each other, they're transferring energy. Well, we shouldn't be transferring.
But we don't actually have to go into those esoteric areas in order to see the harm that is done. Basically, because the genetically modified organisms are under tremendous stress. Their energy system is out of kilter, basically. Okay, and we now know that stress in humans is responsible for a lot of cancers and a lot of diseases. In fact, so we don't actually it's not something that you cannot see. It's something you can identify. You don't actually have to go into very esoteric areas. I don't know. I haven't heard Bruce Lipton, so I don't know what kind of energy he's talking about, because I know there are all kinds of energies in our body. There is negative and positive charges, and they have to balance. There is oxidation and reduction, and they have to balance. And if they are unbalanced, then you get inflammation, you get stress, and that is a prelude of cancer and all kinds of terrible diseases.
Okay, then let me follow up with this. We now can prove that biotechnology methods to introduce foreign DNA into crop genomes creates genetic instability.
We know that. We don't have to prove it.
What does that mean for a plant's DNA to become unstable? What could be the anticipated health risk that we as consumers have if we ingest those DNA plants?
Yeah, as you pointed out at the beginning, it's that they can jump again. They can jump out of the genome again and insert itself into other genomes. That's called horizontal gene transfer, like you mentioned at the beginning of the program.
Wasn't there a 2010 Russian study? It was a two-year study from the National Association of Gene Security and the Institute of Ecological and Evolutionary Problems found that increasing percentages of infertility?
Those research have been followed up extensively. We now know that the cells use DNA for intercommunication and other nucleic acids for intercommunication. So, for example, your body, your bloodstream is full of these small and larger pieces of DNA and RNA. They are sent out from one cell to another. That, by the way, is how cancers spread from one tissue to another. And in fact, normally, these DNA and RNA are used for normal intercommunication. But they also transmit diseases, as I say. They also enable cancers to spread. So now imagine if you take in something which has abnormal DNA, which is more likely to spread, what happens? Then these will go into your genome. When DNA jumped into the genome, kind of at random in an uncontrolled fashion, what they can do is then jump into the genome next to a gene that, if it is activated, causes cancer. Or alternatively, if it is inactivated, it also leads to cancer or facilitates cancer to happen. So these are the things that these are the dangers from horizontal gene transfer.
Good.
Some of the dangers.
I want to go to our next question now. Thank you for that answer. Let me just mention that the Environmental Working Group published a study showing that every year the average American consumes their body weight in genetically modified foods. That should be of concern. But my next question is this. I'd like your thoughts on biopharmaceutical drops, meaning plants being genetically bioengineered to certain drugs and vaccines for the drug industry, including vaccine components that are associated with deadly infectious diseases and infertility, or contraceptive drugs such as being done with corn, because some individuals who have a very strong pro-eugenic philosophy, like Bill Gates, believes that we should be, in effect, giving food or drugs or vaccines, all that have the same biotechnology, to create infertility in those who are deemed undesirable to have children around the world. Your thoughts on this, please.
Well, I have no idea if that's what he wants to do. If that's what he wants to do, that's absolutely wicked. But I don't actually know. I mean, I don't know where you got your information from.
From Bill Gates.
Certainly.
I'll send you his actual video.
A lot of vaccines are contaminated with DNA of viruses. And we have warned against it. And, the FDA has issued memoranda of announcements trying to reassure people that they are not dangerous, but we disagree.
Okay. By the way, I will
say... These products, these contamination products, are things that are inherent to the process that are used in producing these things. You see, we have a horribly dirty medical drug system, and we really ought to move away from it. We have a rotten medical system, which is supported by a rotten reductionist biological science, and which is, by the way, part of a rotten science altogether, reductionist science altogether. And there are many scientists like myself who are not like wishy-washy, we're not touchy-feely scientists. We are real, we are very, very serious scientists. But we are very, very concerned at the way science has been taken over by the corporations. They have been manipulating science for profit. They don't care about people. And also, they are helped by a scientific establishment who are profiting prestigiously from them as well as financially. So they don't want to change things either, or else they have the lack. They lack the imagination to look any further.
Well, Dr. Ho,
yeah,
that is
of major concern to us.
All right, I just have two more questions for you, please.
Yes.
And also, Bill Gates at a TED conference went on the record talking about his support for population control and looking at vaccines to do that. And I will send you his actual talk so you can see for yourself. Plus, I'll send you his support of hundreds of millions of dollars for Monsanto.
Well, you know, he's probably talking about contraceptive vaccines.
Well, contraceptive vaccines against a person's will or without their knowledge is judging that a person's unfit to have a child. Who has the right to do that?
Yeah. Well, nobody.
Okay.
Nobody
that is my concern.
Has to be properly informed.
Well, they're not. Just like testing on human beings in the United States without our knowledge or consent.
Well,
here's my next to the last question. We're being told now that don't worry, be happy. GMO industry can coexist alongside of traditional organic methods of farming. And in fact, the big ag industry assures us that GMO crops can be contained and pose no risk to non-GMO farms. And I'd like your thoughts on this idea of let's coexist and don't worry about our farms. Nothing bad can happen.
Yeah, because GMOs can spread not only by ordinary pollination and so on and contamination. They also spread by horizontal gene transfer. And also, you know, nobody has yet mentioned that we are running out of water, and GMOs are very thirsty. They don't grow very well unless there is a lot of water. Do you know that in the U.S. drought that you just had, before the hurricane strikes, the GMOs are actually dying off and not producing, whereas organically produced non-GMO are thriving.
We are aware of that. And of course,
it is quite clear that if we want to survive, you know, the GMOs are really a recipe for disaster, not only health-wise, but in terms of growing enough food to really feed the world, to support us through lack of water, through climate change, through climate extremes, what have you. They are just a recipe for disaster. We will get real famine if we don't give up GMOs.
Okay, we have real salmon. This is not a faux famine out there. It's real. And also where GMO crops in India had withered, especially the cotton crop, leaving over 250,000 farmers without the resources to repay loans, so they committed suicide. They do leave something behind. They leave super weeds behind, and those super weeds then take what is left of it. The Earth's moisture. My final question is this. We filmed Dr. Elizabeth Santoris, a renowned thinker, on this program, and I know that you know her, and she's spoken about the need, and she was unequivocal. She did not back off on this. She didn't say we needed to modify or reform. She said to me, we need to completely change the scientific paradigm and how we do business. Your thoughts on that? Our final question for you.
Yes, I agree. Definitely. You know, a number of scientists are doing just that. I have written a new book, by the way, which actually is an introduction to a completely new cell biology that has been left out completely in the textbooks. Okay? So there are scientists like myself who are very much in touch also with conventional science, because there are good things in conventional science, but they are not actually coming up to the fore. I'm not giving up on science altogether. That is ridiculous, because that is the source of real rationality. That is where, you know, we take rational decisions on the basis of, you know, we have to have a science that give us reliable knowledge of nature so that we can live sustainably with her. And at the moment, we do not have such a science.
Well, then you and she are on the same wavelength there. Dr. Ho, thank you very much. I appreciate this opportunity for you to share your thoughts on genetic engineering, since it's so important, so timely, so urgent.
Thank you.
All the best to you, and we look forward to your new book. Dr. Mei Wan Ho, H-O, she is one of the world's leading genetic biochemists and biophysicists, over 400 papers published, and several important books, including Genetic Engineering, Dream or Nightmare, and The Physics of Organisms. I'm Gary Knoll. Back in a moment for the next segment of our program. Please stay with us. Welcome, all of you. I'm Gary Knoll, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. I'm going to, because we have a powerful show this evening at 7 p.m. on our Progressive Radio Network, we're going to take the remainder of this program to talk about emergency planning. I flew back into New York because I wanted to be on top of everything in my own office and health food store. And by the way, because I did some pre-planning, bringing the staff in, putting them up, having sleeping accommodations, car service, getting in extra produce and orders, I will be able to go right through this week fully open from 8 in the morning till 11 at night. So that's good news for those who need something. Everything else is closed or out of everything. We are out of nothing, just planning. Right now, I'm going to introduce Dr. Roy Spicer. He is a PhD. He is an expert in water quality. He has a degree from Rutgers University. He's worked for the state. His expertise is in microbiology and bacteriology and water. All right. And I've invited Roy to be in on this discussion because I'm very concerned. One of the things I noticed yesterday, and literally doing everything humanly possible, we were inundated with thousands of customers yesterday at the store. And thank goodness we had planned ahead. And I was kind of directing people and getting them help. I was watching what they were purchasing, and they were purchasing like a gallon of water or some extra produce or orange juice. And I was thinking, exactly what would that mean if the lights went out? And then you see in the suburbs, the people who don't want to move, the people who are not evacuating, but then you say, well, what are you going to do if the power goes out? It could go out for a day, a week, a month. What are you going to do? Well, you know, we'll tough it out. Well, exactly how are you going to tough it out? How would you have toughed it out a year ago in Vermont? Who in the world would have thought that that Vermont towns would flood, that New Jersey towns would flood, that upstate New York towns would flood. They're not even recovered from those at this point. Now they're getting hit with another one, and this is going to be much more severe. They're now equating this and its impact to Katrina. And yet, when I ask people I know personally, I just called someone last night who lives on Long Island, and I said, did you get the backup propane generator? No. Why not? Well, I didn't think it would be that bad. But what if it is? Did you get water? Well, I got 3 gallons of water. And exactly how long would 3 gallons of water last you? And you just see people are so completely unprepared. Ironic, because just 2 weeks ago, I did a program talking about what to do to prepare. And I said that prepare for such things as a solar storm, which is coming, and it's going to be bad. And in fact, I've just updated my new article today, this morning, on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com's website, my Facebook website, and GaryNall.com website. This is the most up-to-date scientific evidence, the best scientists, astrophysicists, NASA scientists, showing the cycles actually started a little early. We thought December. It's starting now. The only advantage is those humongous sun plumes that you've seen going off the sun were not in our orbit. Bad news, we're orbiting to where it will be in our orbit. So the question is not, will we get hit with some solar sunspots? The answer is, the question is, when and to what degree? So I believe in being prepared. And when I see how absolutely, totally unprepared people are, they think if they have a flashlight and a blanket or a bottle of water, they're prepared. I watched 3,000 of them yesterday, clueless what to do. Well, we're on the Upper West Side. Well, nothing's ever going to happen here. Or people are coming in from the boroughs. Well, you know, it can't be that bad. But what you're talking about, a storm that nobody at this moment can predict how bad it's going to be, for how long, and what will be the consequences. My job is to try to give people the truth and let them make intelligent choices. Hence, this coming Saturday, starting at noon, and if we fill up at noon, I'll go to 2 and do it again. I promise that when I come back to New York, and I was going to wait till mid-November, but now based upon people needing time to get organized, I'm going to have a meeting in my office. It'll be on a first-come, first-served basis of what to do if a crisis hits, how to plan in advance, what do you need, where should you go, what should you take, what should you have with you, and all that information, plus trying to put people together so someone who doesn't have a car can meet with someone who does, someone who doesn't know which direction to go, others will. And so you have adequate time to plan out strategies for what to do if the solar storm hit, or if a nuclear reactor gets damaged, or it goes offline and goes to Fukushima level. Those are the big ones. That's what you don't want to end up being unprepared for. That is how serious all this is. Now, they said that it couldn't happen, a nuclear power plant go offline because of an earthquake. It did. It's called Fukushima. And that scenario is still playing out, and the worst is still to come. Because it's sunk 3 feet, the building is unstable, there's no way to get any mechanical robots in to disengage the spent fuel rods, and there's more spent fuel rods in there than there was if there was 10 Chernobyls. So if that building collapses because of another earthquake or the instability of the building itself, then all of Japan is going to be permanently contaminated. And you're going to see tens of millions of people impacted at toxic levels with radiation. And that radiation, unlike cesium, that's plutonium, and those nucleides will kill. What if it happens here? If it happened there, it could happen there. Here, it didn't happen because of the tsunami. It happened because of the earthquake. So we're not looking at any of this. We're not looking at the solar storms. It's almost as if it's too bad to contemplate, so let's just forget about it. Okay, for those who have that attitude, there's nothing I can do to help you because you're not willing to help yourself. You're not willing to look at the reality. So here's what I'm suggesting. If you want to join me because I'm only going to do this once. That's it. This Saturday is going to start at noon. I'm going to do a whole discussion. I will show you where the nuclear power plants are. I'll show you the best places to move to, how to get there. I'll give you what you need to survive, if you choose that, if your family, an individual. But it's on a first-come, first-served basis. Whoever makes a reservation and shows up, those are the people. And if we overpack that one, and I have a cutoff number, then I'll do it again at 2. If we overpack that one, I'll do it again at 4. You'll call 646-926-5422. You must be patient. I have one person today in the office answering the phone who can take the reservation information. That's Neil. 646-926-5422. So that's this weekend. Also, I will allow this Saturday and Sunday only for those of you who would like to buy at wholesale, my cost, bulk grains only, bulk beans and legumes, things that are inexpensive and that you can store for years and take with you. You can go to the health food store, only cash and no credit card or checks, because I don't want to end up having it cost me. You'll have 1 week to pick your stuff up. If you don't pick it up in a week, then I will donate it to a food bank. So understand, last time I did this, and it left a bad taste in my mouth because some people left their stuff there for 5 months, never got around to it. You do it this time, you got 1 week to pick it up. I'm doing this as a public service to help you, so honor that. All right? Now, what you'll do, you cannot call in advance. There's nothing done over the phone. You have to show up in person, and you'll show up between 9 and 5, Saturday or Sunday. You'll select the items you want. The order will be placed. It'll come in the following week, and you can take your 25 to 50-pound bags of any one of like 60 or 70 different grains and beans, so at least you have them. I have a whole tractor trailer load I'm taking for myself and others who in my family, so that I'm, last year I did the same thing, and when I didn't use it, I then gave it to a church group who fed the financially challenged parishioners. So it never goes to waste. If I don't use it, then another human being who needs that food now will use it. I suggest you do the same. So the next 6 months are extremely important. Let us not forget how important this is. We have the perfect storm. We have aging nuclear structure. We have extreme weather patterns. We have earthquakes. And we have the solar storms. My biggest concern is the solar storms. I'm hopeful that when we have them, they won't go to the X level. But if they do, I want people to be able to survive it. If people are cavalier, they won't. Just imagine waking up and there's no electricity, no refrigeration, no water. Nothing. And you don't know what's going to happen and when the electric's going to come back on. Exactly what are you going to do then? Who are you going to call? Where are you going to go? What if you don't have a car? What if you have a car and you don't have the gas? Right now, if you have an electric, let's say a gas generator, and you think, oh, good, I got a gas generator. Yeah, that's good for about a day or two max. Because you got to go get gasoline. What if the gasoline, working off also electric pumps, if that's out, you're not going to get it till that comes back on. In a storm that breaks down the lines or floods out systems, that generally can take anywhere from 1 to 4 weeks. Solar storm, if it burns out a generator, game over. No one's going to fix anything. And then you're stuck with 20 million other people trying to figure out how to survive. So I'm trying to give you a heads up, but it's, In my regard, it's a little frustrating. It's like talking with the people who say, I listen to you every day, really into health, and then you look at them and you see that they're out of shape, have all kinds of diseases, their diet is terrible, but they take a vitamin once a week or once a day. That doesn't cut it. When it comes to survival, be smart, do everything you can. Also, what I'm going to do is I called and I got the Wisconsin manufacturer to make some additional emergency portable water filters. By the way, these are made in the USA by living wage people, not in China. I was able to get 70 extra emergency filters. They're being shipped today. I should get them in my office later this week. And I've already shipped out over 300 to people in the area, so you should have gotten them already. You'll get them in a day or two from 2 weeks ago. So here's what I'm going to do. And I can only do this one last time on this because there's a backup of inventory going to our listeners at KPFK and BAI. I just happen to have already had a standing order, anticipating that something might happen when they said, oh, the hurricane season's over. I said, but what if it isn't? Oh, it's over. Don't have to worry about it. Well, it wasn't. So here's the deal. A 3-gallon portable water filtration system plus a 3-hour, 3-CD, everything you need to know, everything that I know to help you survive any disaster. Earthquake, tornado, hurricane, solar storm, nuclear meltdown. I cover everything. What to do if you're a family, individual, older, younger, where to go, how to get there, what to eat, what to take, what goes in your knapsack, what emergency gear, what goes in your medical kit. All that is covered in the 3-hour CD. I just finished that, by the way. When I came back in the office after hustling to get on a plane, because even last night we had an important meeting, over the weekend I should say, we had an important meeting in Los Angeles on helping to do our last push on genetic engineering. I've been out on the road for 10 weeks, every day trying to help waken up people's awareness of why GMOs are dangerous. Now I got to awaken people's awareness why solar storms are dangerous. Everyone's now aware of a nuclear, or of a hurricane danger. No one's talking about this solar storm danger, which is about 1 million times worse if it happens. So the two together, I'm going to get you for $180 plus shipping until they're out of stock. And that's it. There's no more coming after that, because the time it takes to get this done will be about 3 months. This time, I can get it to you right away. Call this number, 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065. You'll get a recording, then you'll dial one of the numbers, Diane or Bill or Jeremy or a new person, one, and you'll get someone who's alive. But again, be patient, because I hooked it up so that they're working from home since they couldn't make it into the city. Again, all that I can do in this immediate time is to give you insight, information, facts to help you survive if we have a solar storm that is dangerous. We're going to have a solar storm. It's just, I don't know. No one can predict this moment how bad it can be. But we're in a 90-year cycle. That's bad. We're in the 11 to 12-year cycle. That's bad. The sun has been throwing off bursts of solar power that is the most powerful some astroscientists have seen in a long time. It just hasn't come towards Earth yet because we weren't in the trajectory path. We will be. So I'm rushing as fast as I can to get myself and everyone I know into a position where, as things unfold, if they go bad, at least we will have a plan A, a plan B, and plan C. I want you to have a plan A, plan B, and plan C. I want everyone to have a chance to be able to get through any crisis as best as possible. It's that simple. All right? Give a call, 877-627-5065. Now let's go over and say hello to Dr. Roy Spicer, who's standing by on our line. Hi, Roy.
Hello, Gary.
Give us a few suggestions what people can do right now, not for the solar storm, but just for this hurricane, because what I was seeing yesterday, the people don't have backup generators in at the Jersey Shore and Long Island. They went to a store and got a couple bottles of water or whatever they could get. But there are some things they can do immediately. Tell us what they can do.
Well, there's a risk of acquiring a waterborne disease if you drink water that's not chlorinated. And if the power is out, the municipal treatment companies cannot chlorinate the water. So you cannot drink the water when there's no chlorination. So the first thing you need to do is right now is fill the bathtub. If you have a bathtub, fill it with water. And you can put a couple teaspoons of chlorine in it. That will hold you for about a couple of days. The next thing I would do is fill every jug you have, every pot, and put it on standby. Just store it wherever you can. Then when you get the emergency filter, I would run the water through the emergency filters. So that will give you a supply. It could be 30, 40 gallons of water or more. So that would be the first step. You can't rely on bottled water because it won't be available. When you have a natural disaster of this level with severe weather, the power could be out, for, like you said, for weeks. It's happened here in Florida. So you have to prepare. And with an emergency filter, you can remove all these pathogens and contaminants that may be in the water as a result of either sewage overflowing into the water system or just lack of chlorination. Until it gets back online and you get a notice that the water is safe to drink, I would not drink any tap water and use the emergency filter, which are rated to remove parasites and bacteria.
Tell Pete, by the way, let's go through, what will the portable water filter filter? And it can use about 1,000 gallons of water, so it's a lot of water you can get. Tell them what it's rated to get rid of.
Well, first, Gary, it's rated for parasites almost 100%, and they're commonly found in all surface water. Second, it'll remove bacteria, which could be E. coli that are commonly found in water and other potential bacteria. Third, it can remove dirt, rust, and sediment. So if you have to take water from a lake or stream or river, whatever water source, it'll remove any of that sludge. And third, it'll remove bad taste and odors and any residual chlorine. If you have to chlorinate the water, it'll remove it when you put it through the filters. The filters are cleanable, so if you have to take dirty water, you can clean the filters off and reuse them. You can store this unit. It's very portable. There's no shelf life on the filters. If you're not using them, just dry them out, and you can store them away for the next use. So they're very portable and very usable over a long period of time.
Okay. Thank you, Roy. I appreciate it. Now, here are the numbers. I'm going to give you two numbers in case you can't get through them one. I'll give you two. So that's what I have to share with you today. I was really surprised to see that most people don't have backup propane generators. They don't have solar. They don't have water filtration systems that are portable. They're relying upon rushing out, buying some emergency supplies, and how long will that last? That just doesn't make any sense to me. I believe in being fully prepared for any emergency, because how many times have we been told it can't be that bad, and then it is? Just like the people who were devastated by the tornadoes in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and Joplin, Missouri. Hundreds and hundreds of homes destroyed in a matter of minutes. Thousands and thousands of homes all told gone, and no one thought it could happen. And then your life is upside down. So I only have 70 emergency filters that I've been able to get. Then I've reached my quota, and they're being shipped today from Wisconsin to my office, and we will get them right out to you, or even let you know, and you can come in and pick them up. And they will go with a three-hour. And by the way, this three-hour CD set, it's essential that you listen to this information. It is nonstop three 1-hour programs, 3 hours, everything that you would need to know to survive. And I want you to be able to survive. So please listen to this, because it wouldn't matter whether it was a tornado, a hurricane, an earthquake, a fire, a solar storm, or a nuclear power meltdown. It tells you what to do and how to do it, no matter what circumstances you're faced with. But I'm limited, and I, because it, you know, it takes a lot of planning, and I've done as much as I can. You can't imagine all that, you know, working right through the night last night just so that my own staff has places to stay, car service to pick them up, getting us on the air today so we stay on the air right through the storm, which we will. I'll be broadcasting live right through the storm, as our other programs will in addition. So I'm back in New York. I wished I could be in California for the last 5 days, but I'm needed here. All I could humanly do, I have done 10 weeks nonstop out there, and now it's up to all of the grassroots people to use the information, the tools, the 6 15-minute documentaries we did to help motivate them to get the call out to say yes. So that's it. Give a call if you want to, A, join me for the one and only meeting I'm going to have on how to survive the future in a healthy way, happy way, positive way, a sustainable future, what I see the future being, and even for homesteaders. And that project is moving along very nicely. We're well into that. In fact, I'll be interviewing carpenters, plumbers, masons, people with basic and quality skills also. So give a call if you want to join me Saturday. The number to call, and the only number to call, is 646-926-5422, 646-926-5422. That's for the Saturday meeting of survival of the future, no matter what event. Then, if you want the water filter and the three-hour CD, and this is the last time I can mention this because this is the last time I'm going to be able to get them in any with any reasonable time frame, call 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065. Be patient. I'm going to give you a separate number to call also, 1-800-444-3563, 1-800-444-3563. This is a separate group that I called last night, and I asked someone, can you get some people to answer the phone? If someone calls, they said yes. They got five people standing by there. So we got two numbers for you, 1-800-444-3563 or 877-627-5065. And that does it on our emergency survival efforts. Let's go over and say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. Thank you for all of that information. We're all going to hopefully get through this one, but great information. I have an email here and a separate question with it. I have Robert from Morristown. He says, my brother is a recovering alcoholic. He used to go to AA meetings like twice a day for 10 years, and he finally didn't go back. But he's really an angry and mean-spirited person. I sent him your Life Energies DVD. He watched it this week, and he said it was an eye-opener. And that's the reason he's no longer going back to his AA meetings. He realized he was living the wrong life energy, and that's what was causing his anger. The question is, how many people are living their wrong energy as a result are miserable? And a caveat to that question is, how do you think that one's life energy will impact how they plan for emergency situations like we're having now?
All right. Well, first of all, I'm glad that he is happy, not angry, because a lot of people in recovery movements walk around angry at everything. They may not be going back on the substance they were abusing, sugar, caffeine, cigarettes, drugs, but they're very, very empty on a spiritual level. So they reach out and blame everyone in the world for everything. They become hypercritical people. For example, someone sent me some emails from one of the people listening to this show, and this guy writes the most hate-filled screeds against women and other people, and he's so self-righteous. There is what is known as an addictive personality. I bet anything that person is not honoring his true life energy or honoring it on the up or down side. You might be living your right life energy, but you don't know the rules of what happens when you think a positive thought, you act on a positive emotion, you only make positive choices, you get a positive outcome. You're living on the upside of that energy. You think apocalyptic, negative, toxic, angry, spiteful, vengeful, jealous and rageful thoughts, you end up on the downside of your life energy. Now imagine living the wrong energy and being on the downside of that wrong energy. Then you're just going to be a negative person all the time. You're going to be a manipulator and a blamer. But think if you lived on the upside but the wrong energy. Then you're a chronic giver, carer, but empty on the inside because your whole life is meant to serve the interests of others, but never yourself. That's the martyr complex. So a lot of people who are martyrs, a lot of mothers in particular, a lot of adaptive supportives, lived as adaptive supportives as if the only reason they were alive was to take care of other people, but never themselves. They were never expected to excel, to do something that was uniquely for themselves, and especially if it challenged the basic assumptions of society or their role in it or in the family. Let's say you're a creative assertive. You really want to be an artist. You want to draw or paint or design or dance or play music. But you subvert all that because it would compete with the energy that was needed for your husband, your family, your home, your social position. So you do everything you're supposed to do. You're the perfect mother, the perfect wife, the perfect companion, the perfect, you know, social volunteer. You're also perfectly miserable. You hide it. You're angry, you get cancer, you get arthritis, you get inflammation, because behind that smile is a whole lot of hormones elevated that are stress-related hormones. So if we simply let people know what these life energies are, and the consequences if you're on the upside downside of a given life energy, then what if you're living the wrong energy on the upside downside? Then we begin to see that way we can help a lot of people is, A, get them to understand that they may not have lived and mastered their own life, but some other expected life, and B, then live it to the higher end of it. And that's how I frequently am able to help a lot of people, especially those who are in addiction, to get off the drugs and just realize it was just a stupid choice, a wrong choice, more often not because they were acting out and didn't know who they, their authentic self was. Because rarely, Luann, do people living an authentic life make bad choices consistently. Almost always people living an authentic life at the high end are those who seem to be living almost effortlessly no matter what life throws at them and no matter what challenge they have. They seem to always get stronger and better no matter what. And other people, no matter what you give them, they're always imploding emotionally. They're always finding a reason to say no. They're always piss-faced. They're always angry at everything. And those people almost universally are living the wrong energy on the downside. Hope that answers your question.
That's excellent. Thank you very much.
I'm Gary Null. We're out of time. I look forward to being back here at 7 o'clock tonight. Hope you join me on the Progressive Commentary Hour. Have a nice day, everyone. And remember, this will be the last opportunity to get these 3-gallon, but they can filter 1,000 gallons, portable water filter that's important for every kind of emergency where the electric goes out and you don't have water. This will at least give you that, plus the 3 hours CD. Call 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065. If you want to see me, be with that group that I'm going to meet with on Saturday, starting at noon. When that fills up, if it does, I'll go to 2. If that fills up, I'll go to 4. Have a nice day, everyone. Now stay tuned for Utrecht's Lead.